This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on April 26th, 2012. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next matter on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2012-10, Greenberg, Quinlan, Rosner Research. Mr. Sandler and Ms. Howard are here with us again this morning. I'm not sure if we have any questions for you, but please feel free to just have a seat. We're going to take another minute to try to get Commissioner Walther on the phone. I know he wanted to listen to this discussion, so I'll give him another try. Okay, we actually don't anticipate any questions for you. Feel free to sit there for another minute, but I'm told that Commissioner Walther can record his vote after we vote here. So I think that when we'll do the proper motion for that at a later point. As long as he records his vote before the end of the day, that's what I'm told. So I believe we can go forward with this advisory opinion, and we will ensure that he is able to cast his vote on this as well. Ms. Woodhaworth?
Chair Hunter, we know that Commissioner Walther can hear the discussion in the room. We just have a problem trying to hear him here. So we do know he's on the line and he's following.
Steve, it's good to know you can hear us. I know you're having fun, but we will record your vote. No worries. If you have any questions, that's too bad because we can't hear you. Okay, so
we need some kind of a motion to ensure that he can record his vote.
We're going to worry about that later.
Okay.
Okay. We've already had a presentation on this the last go around, but Ms. Hayden, do you have any presentation for us this morning?
You can just add that. Well, first, thank you, Chair Hunter. Good morning, Commissioners. And again, before you are two agenda documents which were held over from the last open session on April 12th. Those are 12-22 and 12-22A. We also have new agenda documents, 12-22B and 12-22C. And again, collectively, all of these consist of six draft advisory opinions responding to a request from Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research Incorporated. In addition to what we presented last time, I guess what we can add is that revised draft D also declines to render an advisory opinion, and draft E concludes that the Act and Commission regulations preempt the New Hampshire state law with respect to the proposed telephone surveys paid for by federal candidates, but it does not reach a conclusion as to those surveys paid for by nonprofit organizations. Again, we have received no new comments since the last time, but we did overall received two comments on the request and four comments on the drafts. Thank you. I'd be happy to address any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Hayden. Are there any questions for Mr. Sandler or Ms. Howard? Mr. Sandler, the consensus draft was just probably sent to you, or I should call it draft E, was sent to you probably late in the day yesterday. Do you have any questions or comments on it?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The only question I have is whether it's the intent of Draft E, the first part of Draft E, when it says it's preempted, the state statute's preempted insofar as it purports to apply to proposed telephone calls paid for by federal candidates, not nonprofits. Is it the intent that that would also apply to other federal political committees that are not authorized committees of candidates? That's something that possibly was intended to be covered one way or the other, but isn't mentioned in the draft.
Commissioner Bowerly?
On page 5 of the draft at the top. At the bottom lines, I think it is, and I thought we had language in there that said that. Sorry, give me one second.
Well, Right. Well, I was referring to page 7 of draft E, lines 3 through 6 that state the actual conclusion of the AO.
Yes.
Commissioner McGann?
The question asks, federal candidates or authorized committees or other federal political committees that refer only to candidates for federal office. It answers that question, yes, but there is this at the end, seems to limit it to federal candidates, and I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I think on page 6 where we state that I think it is intended to cover the rest of them. I think that was in our back and forth, perhaps just missed in the draft, but it states it is preempted to the extent it forced to regulate surveys paid for by federal candidates, their authorized committees, or other federal political committees on page 6, lines 3 through 6.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay. Can we do... Go ahead. It's not really... Is it a technical amendment, Madam Chair? We would just make an amendment at the table and say, add on line 5 of page 7, after federal candidates, add the phrase... their authorized committees or other federal political committees.
I think we should make the amendment once the motion is made to adopt the draft.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mr. Sandler or Ms. Howard? Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just on the same line, I believe on page 4, line 11, we may also need to conform that language. The way the sentence reads, right, or at least the fragment, talks about with respect to the proposed telephone surveys that refer only to candidates for federal office and that are made on behalf of, right, currently it says, or are in support of or in opposition to federal candidates. I believe we may need, let me just make sure that others agree. I believe we want to strike the language or in support of or in opposition to and instead have it read that refer only to candidates for federal office that are made on behalf of federal candidates and then add authorized committees or other federal political committees.
Hello.
Oh,
Mr. Zolt?
Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Steve, you'd appear... out of the air. We were just discussing
I've heard everything, but I couldn't speak until I got off, and then I called in the other number for the leader. I was supposed to call the participant, Pasco, but I can still hear everybody, and I could even hear the council. But now I waited and called the leader, Pasco, which I thought was what I wasn't supposed to call, but anyhow, it's good to talk to you.
We're glad that you are able to speak. Okay, so then you know we're talking about some somewhat technical changes to draft E, and I believe Commissioner Peterson will make a motion here shortly with the amendments that we've discussed.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Yes, I'm aware of the situation.
Okay. Commissioner Peterson?
Okay, I just brought up a possible change to lines 10 and 11 of page 4, and I think that would make this consistent, that the answer would then be consistent with the question that is posed.
Okay. Do you want to make that motion?
Okay. Sure. Okay. And if I could just add one comment. There have been drafts dealing with the question of whether or not we should be even answering this AO. And I was seriously considering that issue. As I mentioned last time, the commission, as currently constituted, hasn't dealt with preemption often, but as a requester has pointed out, the commission over its history has done so on many occasions, and I think as a result of that, if we were to change course, the burden would be on us to justify why we would do so. And as I've looked at how other agencies have done it, you know, I just did kind of a non, I don't know how extensive of a sample it is, but, you know, the Department of Labor issues advisory opinions with respect to ERISA, and to the extent that ERISA may preempt state laws, the Federal Trade Commission, the FDIC, the Office of Thrift Supervisor and Comptroller of the Currency also issue advisory opinions regarding preemption of state law. There was actually a GAO report that was issued a number of years ago with respect to the titled the Role of the Office of Thrift Supervision and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency in the Preemption of State Law, and talking about how both of those agencies deal with preemption. And I thought that a relevant sentence from that is also relevant for us. It says affected parties may seek guidance from agencies requesting their view on whether a particular federal statute preempts a particular state law. In these instances, the agency may issue an advisory opinion in which it opines on the issue. And it talks about how OTS and OCC do that. It says, however, agency guidance is not an indispensable part of the preemption process. Ultimately, the courts decide whether federal law preempts state law in a particular area. But in light of not only this agency's practice, but agency practice throughout the federal government is to issue advisory opinions on these state preemption issues. I believe it is proper for us to opine on this agency's jurisdiction and how it affects potentially conflicting state laws. And as a result of that, we're not going to be voting on any other drafts. If there were support, I was in support of draft A, but I know that there's not majority support for that, so I'm comfortable with voting for draft E. And if now's the time that's appropriate, I'd like to make a motion to that we adopt draft E.
Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I won't be supporting the motion, but don't worry, Mr. Sandler, you're going to have your votes, so it'll be okay. I just wanted to comment in part on the same issue that Commissioner Peterson was just talking about. I think it's a very difficult question because we are we're not only acting under sort of general principles of when agencies should issue advisory opinions, but we have a very specific statute that talks about when we should issue advisory opinions and to whom and the kind of conduct that we should opine on. I know that commissioners in times gone by have thought this was an appropriate issue for an advisory opinion, and many of them voted for this without really a lot of analysis as to the question of whether we were really the commission was really opining on the conduct of the requester or the conduct of some other person. I mean, it seems to me that the relief that you're seeking is really for us to tell the Attorney General in New Hampshire that he can't enforce his law against you, which seems more like somebody else's conduct than your own. I think it's a tough question and a close call. Were I to support a draft, it would probably be revised draft D, but I'm not going to bother to make the motion because it wouldn't get support, and there's, you know, I don't need to make a pointless motion, but I just wanted to explain why I'm not going to be supporting the motion that's on the table.
Thank you. Commissioner Peterson, does your motion include the amendments that you discussed earlier?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, so the revisions on, I believe it was on page 4 and also on page, was that 7?
7, yeah.
Page 7. Yes, my motion includes both of those revisions.
Is that motion clear for everybody? Commissioner McGann?
Just so we're clear, I think we're going to take the language that's actually in the question and take that language and put it in the response. I think that's the easiest way to do it, so there's no fuzziness. So page 4, I understand that lines 9 through 11 would change. We would strike that refer only to candidates for federal office and are made on behalf of or in support of or in opposition to federal candidates and replace that with made on behalf of federal candidates, their authorized committees, or other federal political committees that refer only to candidates for federal office. I've taken that verbatim from the question. Similar change, as I understand the motion, would be on page 7, line 5, where it says paid for by federal candidates. I understand the motion to be we would strike federal candidates and substitute in federal candidates, their authorized committees, or other federal political committees that refer only to candidates for federal office.
Commissioner Peterson, is that consistent with your motion?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Commissioner Bowerly.
Thank you. I would add a friendly amendment to ask council to make any technical and conforming changes to this one, given the edits. And I will support the motion, but I agree with Commissioner Weintraub and what Commissioner Peterson was saying, that I think this is a difficult area for us to be in. I know the commission has been here before, but this ultimately is a question, in my view, for the courts. The commission has opined in this area, and this commission actually did it when West Virginia itself came to us requesting guidance as to what we would think, given a statute that it had in its jurisdiction. So I think this is a difficult question, a close call. I will support draft E. But I wanted to note that I think this is an unusual situation, and in this instance, this answer is appropriate. But I do take seriously and take to heart the limitations of our advisory opinion process. I think it's, as it's laid out in the statute, requires us to be fairly careful when we go into these areas. So I will support the draft.
Any other comments? Commissioner Walther? You good? Commissioner McGann?
I just want to echo what Commissioner Peterson said on regarding if left to my own devices, I'd support draft A. I think I said that last meeting, but I want to make that clear because folks sometimes like to know where individual commissioners are.
And the same for me. I would have supported draft A as well, but happy to vote for draft E this morning. There's a motion on the table. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Steve, are you still on the – Commissioner Walther, are you still on the phone? Okay, we'll record his vote later, but my understanding is that he is planning to support draft E. All those opposed?
No.
The ayes have it at this moment 4-1, but that'll probably change by the end of the day to 5-1. Thank you very much. Thank you for your patience.
Hello?